Everybody, thank you for tuning in. It is a great night, Saturday night, or whatever day it might be. I had a new topic I want to talk about. It's kind of going back to the same topic I posted of Jake Paul. This guy is apparently going nuts. He's trying to conquer the world in the boxing matching, and I thought this was interesting, some of the comments he's been making. ESPN is now even, he has never been covered by ESPN, and now they are covering him because he, of the massive amount of attention he brought to the fight against Nate. And man, the everything that's going on with the marketing thing with Nate, they're offering him to fight again, already giving him like confirmed salaries for the fight. And it's just like, it's just messed up, man. And I even heard there was like some sort of something like going to be named after him that he would have to agree to, some sort of product. But like, it's just crazy, man. But and the offset for like the money made for Jake was like 10 times or even 20 times of what Nate made in the fight. And so there's this ESPN article, and they've never covered Jake Paul because he's never been in, even with the other fights, because it's not that it wasn't that big. And so he's saying he's dedicating his life to beating Conor McGregor. And the thing is he's only had two professional fights. He fought, you know, a person who doesn't really is an amateur fighter, and then he fought somebody that's not a fighter. So the confidence that he has is insane. But I think it just depends on their weight and height. And obviously, I don't know, man. It'd be crazy to see. But if he's really interested in doing it, I just can't believe how much he has gone on this path to do this. And people just get, you know, they get taken a hold by it, and it's something that they want to do. But, you know, so there was also something interesting, too, that I didn't see up and coming towards the fight, that like 3 weeks before the fight, he apparently, you know, these like I mentioned, these boxers and MMA fighters and UFC fighters, they do sort of like meditation and spiritual practices to, you know, calm the mind and like get their mind ready to fight. And it's so interesting because when they're meditating, apparently like they're meditating about, you know, winning and, you know, envisioning, there's so many different types of meditation that they're envisioning, like how to, you know, beat an opponent. I mean, it's just insane how to think that, like, you know, to be using meditation towards something to like hurt somebody. It's just really opposite of what's going on. But I thought that was interesting. But I mean, what do you guys think? Is he like, why is he doing this? He can just, why doesn't he just make videos and like, you know, he owns a couple different companies. But McGregor's been fighting for a long time, man, in two different, you know, sports. So it's like, so, I mean, he's obviously not going to fight KSI because, and the thing with Logan too, like he's not, Logan and him are just saying that to make it seem like they're against each other, so it like makes their opponents fear against them, because like they're, to make it seem like they're so disrupted, they're just, they've come up with that plan to make that a like a spotlight thing that they're gonna fight. That obviously, that's just, I mean, one of the most ridiculous things. He's saying, I want to bring MMA fighters into the boxing ring and embarrass them. I mean, the amount, he's only fought two people, you know. I mean, he's training, but like the first guy that he fought didn't really have experience. He was an amateur boxer and he was trash. And then he fights Nate Robinson, who's a basketball player who's never trained, only had 4 months of training, who's like 2 feet shorter than him. And I think it's just a jump. Like, it's just amazing the amount of confidence he has. If he's got the confidence and he can train and really do that, then that's something that's like really cool. And obviously, within, you know, his demeanor and his conscience, that's like, you know, an improvement and an achievement that he wants to. But it's interesting to see people's envisions for how they want to live their life. And and how they want to do things. But it's just insane. Wow, I just can't believe how invested the but his music, I will say, is really good. I really like the way he's evolved through his music. If we're going in that realm, you know, if we are listening to that 20% of the time, you know, kind of getting into an excitement phase, his music is, it hits a little bit. The Park South Freestyle wasn't really that good, but the 23 and the Fresh Out of London was really put together properly. And, I mean, he's just tweeting, like, all these things, like, he's gonna fight McGregor, and it's just, like, but apparently what I was saying was the meditation, like, he passed out, I guess, and so he, like, broke his nose, which, but how would he have enough power to fall down on the ground and break his nose? That doesn't make sense. Like, if he's sitting on the ground, how do you pass out and then, you know, inert yourself fast enough to break your nose? I don't know. Maybe, you know. But he's proven himself, dude, and it's crazy, bro. And so his margins of money that he's really good at making. Like, I wish I had this talent that he has to finesse and properly promote himself to make money. And obviously, like, you know, through the pay-per-view. So, and then obviously there was a payout if he won. You know, so he's 23. He'll be 24 soon. And McGregor is, what, 32? He's claiming that he made 8 figures from it, so. And then pay-per-view, and then obviously whatever he puts on YouTube about it, which he hasn't posted the full fight. I don't know if he, you know. But obviously, you have to remember this is probably, like, a lot of hype. And, like, I feel like the Tyson, I wasn't even interested in that. Like, it just didn't matter to me. But, like, people are saying, like, Jake Paul beats an NBA player and y'all gas him up for so much that he think he would beat Conor. I mean, it's not much of a stretch because he's an MMA fighter and it depends on his height and weight, it really, and his length. It really does. And he's a strong and well-developed, you know, body. So, like, it's just. And then he's saying he wants to be the prize fighter in the world and the highest paid prize fighter. I mean, he's really taking this turn from that whole thing a couple years ago. Like, that is insane to see. I don't know if I can play a video on the podcast, but let me do some research to see if I can play. I don't think it would be a problem because it just depends on if it's copyright. I don't know if I have the ability to. I can report on it, but I can't. I don't know if I can play actual audio. Copyright. Infringement. So zero tolerance DMCA compliant policy for copyright violation used upon identification. Infringing content is removed immediately. Podcasts distributed through Anchor are subject to listening platform's normal review process for new shows. Let's see if the company website has anything to say. How's everybody doing? I can't believe it's December. What is it? December 5th, 6th? I can't believe it's going that fast. And it is weird. This holiday season is weird. So we don't promote opinions that may be harmful to others or maybe breaking the law. Content, no hateful content, dangerous content, violent or graphic content, harassment, cyberbullying. Copyright. Anchor will remove any content that explicitly infringes on the copyright of anyone else, including but not limited to the individuals, entertainers, or media companies. We may terminate any account we deem has violated another copyright without our notice. We believe strongly in the empowerment of creators. That includes protecting their form of unused. Let's see how it's enforced, because I want to make sure. Anchor's users may report content they believe to be in violation of guidelines. If the content is found within the Anchor community, no action will be taken. I mean, obviously, it's not my content, so I mean, I can report on it, but yeah, so I'm not going to play it because of, you know, but it's a mindset, man, totally a different mindset. And obviously the social atmosphere has like somehow is promoting his like thoughts and energy towards this. Like, it's just, especially with his brother. I mean, his brother's not going to fight anybody anymore. And he's saying he's going to fight Floyd, but I mean, bro, they're not, I think he's done. I don't think he's doing anything, but we'll see, man. Infringes the intellectual property rights of others, so yeah, so I can't use music, and then obviously my ad, my monetization won't be good, so yeah, I'm just not gonna mess with it. Yeah, so So, I mean, completely, everybody is so on different vibes. Like, it's just very interesting to be in this time period, especially right now. And, very, very interesting to see, because he's right around my age. And I, yeah, I just, you know, I have thoughts about the spiritual aspect, you know, and I've explained the spiritual, like, energetics, and that's maybe why they meditate and do all that, but to kind of balance it out. But, it almost seems like, because I'm sure he's not just calming himself, I'm sure he's meditating, like, for manifestation. And that's another whole thing. So, like, you're manifesting through meditation to hurt somebody, which is, like, wow, you know. So, I'm going to take a break, and I have another topic. So, you know, we'll be right back. And we're back. New topic, economy. What kind of economy do we have? How does it run? Why is it, has it helped us during this pandemic? Has it made us stronger? How did it work? Kind of wanted to go over a couple things. So people think of the U.S. as a completely capitalistic economy, which it is. Privately owned, yeah, I mean, corporate America right there, baby. We have the most privately owned companies running. We don't produce or manufacture as much as China, but we have a business running. And I kind of wanted to explain why, how the government is incorporated with that capitalism and how they interchange and work together. Because I had views on how that we were just completely capitalistic. But as I grew older, I understood that there's a bit of mix within the economy. And so the U.S. is basically a mixed economy. So we have strong capitalism with private enterprise and private exchange. And then we also have a touch of socialist characteristics, which would be considered the government, which so a mixed economy embraces economic freedom when it comes to capital use. So we have the complete freedom to do everything we want to do, privately owned businesses. You know, we can own land, we can, you know, patent ideas and, you know, sciences, technologies. We have the ability to own our inventions, our land. We own ourselves. You know, we are free to do as what we want to do. But as far as when it comes to government, the government has the, you know, we can own certain parts of land. Or we can basically, like, when you buy a house, you know, when the difference is, one second here. So, you know, we can, so basically what we can do is, you know, government has basically, what they have done is they have said, okay, so we, because we are a nation and because we have borders and protect our citizens, you know, what the government does is say, okay, this is the United States land, right? This is the United States of America's land. You know, so that's why you need a certain type of identification to come through. It's the United States land. And so what people can do within this capitalism basis is we can buy or contact these certain agencies to own land. And so, and a lot of it's in the public domain, but it's interesting to see what the government, you know, the government is here for good. You have to understand that they protect us as a nation, you know, and maybe that's why, you know, people are, you know, there's at least rumors or, you know, whatever. But I think coming together, you know, how would a one system work together with everybody? I mean, I don't think it would. I mean, we'd still be, you know, it would still be the U.S. It would still be Russia, China, you know, it would still be identified as that. But what, you know, how would we all, you know, I mean, we wouldn't put all our borders down and just let everybody come through. And now it's just everybody's land. I mean, I don't see how that would work as far as combining everything together. So I think that this, the whole one thing system doesn't really make sense, because there would still be identification between where you're at, you know, going through certain places. I think it's just all how we label things, you know. It just, we like, it's just like how I was talking about with spirituality, with understanding and like, you know, improving your emotional stability, emotional intelligence, you know, using prayer, using your personality to make sure that you harmonize people, you know, to protect yourself, showing off good characteristics to people in your social events. It's just like how that's just our normal things that people develop. But when I put it in the terms of how those specific identification, you know, using your intellect, how those specific thoughts and topics within your mental brain can actually, you know, prevent you from having a discombobulated or, you know, energy that's not as pure as it can. So the balance of your emotions and your consciousness, you know, affects your aura. It's just like this, how the government, okay, I lost why I was trying to make a point. If you guys know where I was going, I think you guys know where I was going, but it's just how, okay, so, oh, the labeling. So, okay, so, you know, it's just labeling, like, it's just how we label things, right? I mean, these are just words. Everything, how we would still, you know, like, it really is just how we label things. You know, people can consider the government to be socialist and the private sector to be capitalism, and they both work together in the U.S. You know, we're considered a mixed economy. And so but what the government has control over is the land and the, you know, the approval to accept it through the public domain and, you know, buy it through the public domain. And so, you know, they categorize certain parts and own certain parts and say these are off limits for whatever military things. But they work together, you know, and it's not necessarily socialist. It just means that we have a system in place where we, you know, collect taxes and use those taxes to build new roads, you know, do things around the city, you know, help community, whatever it might be. But I think people think of socialism as like, you know, everybody gets paid the same. And, you know, the definition of socialism is like the ownership of the means of, I think it's production, agriculture, and they're owned by the people. So I know I'm kind of botching that a little bit, but so it's saying that it's owned by the community of the whole, but I think, you know, that's kind of misleading. You know, it's like, what is socialism? It's like, you know, the government owned by the community as a whole. Okay, so what does that mean? What is the community? Does that mean individuals? Does that mean everybody? You know, who controls that? You know, and who advocates? You know, it's a theory of social organization. So, okay, so the social organization. So obviously someone's going to be running that social organization. In this case, it's the government. So, you know, the government can be, that's why we're a mixed economy. They define it as socialism. But I think when like Bernie Sanders talks about democratic socialism and people are so on boards, they think of like a society of where people you know, it connects to the billionaires and the millionaires that, like, they think that people, the distribution of wealth, you know, should be distributed in certain ways, like taxed and, you know, the Medicare sector. It's just all kind of confusing, but, like, it's something that's you know, something that's already how our government works. They are the organization which advocates that the means of production, they work with, you know, private companies, but they don't, you know, the companies are on their own. They produce themselves. They just have to follow certain regulations. And that's what this means. It means, you know, that advocates the means of production, distribution, and exchange should be owned or regulated by the community as whole. So, I mean, it basically is already. It's regulated by, you know, the private companies and the individuals that do it themselves. And the government is that organization that provides that social structure. And then we have the full private, you know, sector of corporate America. So, you know, what does socialism mean to you? What does communism mean to you? Why is there this narrative that we are going to become, So I think there's just a lot of in socialism, there's still, that's why capitalism and socialism work together in a mixed economy, because the government acts as the social, you know, the social construct. But in communism, it's a whole other thing where, you know, nobody owns property. The elimination of private property, capitalized, a doctrine based on revolutionary Marxist and Leninism that was officially ideology of the USSR. So in communism, they're saying that they're you know, creating a equal society through an authoritarian state which denies basic liberties. I don't think you, I mean, obviously you'd be able to walk around freely, but it just means that you can't own, or you can't, you don't own anything. You can't own a home, you can't own land, you can't, you don't have control over that. But the basic liberties things, I mean, and so, but it's something very bad, because the ability to, you know, have, just like how a patent, you can't own anything natural. You can own something that's created, manufactured. Like, you wouldn't be able to, you know, do any sort of private business. Like, everything, you would have to go through the government. And that's very bad. So, it would deny definitely some basic liberties as well. So that does, you know, I agree with that. But why do we think, you know, what is China's role in this? China is actually, like, so what's the difference with China is that they're, government has a lot of control over their distribution, and they have selected, like, let's say, like, you know, U.S. private you know, manufacturers and corporations that do most of the work of food, you know, whatever it might be, like clothing, accessories, you know, things that, you know, people use on a day-to-day and distribute. They are the government in China of the Communist Party of the Republic or whatever. They designate and control, like, you know, those, like, big, they have like 8 like corporations basically that are owned by the government that produce and control the sector and distribute and all that. They own that part. But then there's also a little sector of private economy that is, I don't quite understand. But I think they've opened up a little bit to having like private markets. So yeah, I mean, they still have they still have private, and apparently they're, So I'm reading a Forbes article about the how they work together. So and think it's all about terms, right? I mean, the Republic of the Communist Party may control, like, those eight organizations may control certain, you know, distribution and whatever, and own that distribution, but then they also allow private. And this happened, apparently, I mean, I guess, as the Chinese economist Zhang Wing writes in his book, The Logic of the Market, China reformed started with an all-powerful government under the planned economy. The reason China could have a sustained economic growth during the process of reform was because the government managed less and the proportion of state-owned enterprises decreased. So, yeah, they became basically, so the relaxation of government control that brought about market prices, sole proprietorships, town and village enterprises, private enterprises, and foreign enterprises, other non-state-owned entities. So why do we think of China as, you know, it's just a label? I don't think they're, you know, they, so did they not become the party? So it's basically still called the Communist Party, but it's just been reformed, I guess, a couple years ago. And so, yeah, they're just conforming to what we're doing. And so, yeah, I guess it changed because under Mao, there was a lot more government control. So yeah, apparently it's not even referred to after so Mao's founding of the Republic in 1949 to Mao's death in 1976. So this was already, you know, so. So why do people still call it Communist Party? And why do they think, you know, is that just US, like, making? I'm sure a lot of people already know about how the government works, but I think it's interesting because I know a lot of people and I've seen a lot of things, you know, certain answers from college students or like certain things that I've read or heard that, you know, people in our generation think or really don't understand that. And my internet is not working. So they were still the Party in 1991. So it's just about labels, man. I mean, it's just really about how so maybe it's just terminology, man, you know. So I think people here think that, like, there, but I do think there are a lot of, you know, different things going on in that state. Okay, this is not a proper. So there's just so much ways people, you know, determine things. I mean, is it a socialist dictatorship? I don't think it's that. And then while moving to a market system on the economic level. So what is that socialistic dictatorship? Does that just mean more government control? Which I do think they have. So he's just, this article is just reading it as a one-party socialist. Oh, and that's the thing too. They don't have, like, you know, parties or elections, or it's all, you know, decided upon, you know, groups of people. And that's the distinction, is that the people don't have the choice of who becomes elected. So that, okay, so I see how that makes sense. So, yeah, but, so they clearly have this market system with private enterprises, but they clearly have a control over who becomes in charge and what kind of policies. You know, it's not like how in the U.S. where it's voted on. It's, we have, like, senators and, you know, Congress and branches of government. They have, they don't, like, the big thing is they don't, I don't think the people can choose who becomes. Very, very interesting, man. So there's, I mean, they're calling it, like, their CCP National Congress. So, I mean, do the people have any? Or is it? So, yeah, I mean, interesting stuff. But I don't think they're, like, trying to, like, there's not really this plot that's, like, you know, there's already mixed economies. I think we just don't understand, like, how they work. And I think, you know, that's why it's good to talk about these things and, like, figure out, like, what the terminology. It's really all about the terminology and how you label it and how you, you know, how things are talked about. Because, you know, I think... But clearly, definitely, they have more of a control, and that's what we don't want to have, you know. We want to have the system we have in the U.S. to stay how it is. But when Bernie talks about democratic socialism, like, what does he mean? I think he's more focused on the one-payer Medicare system, which there can be problems with that, man. Like, the think about it, the government will be in control of your healthcare. So that's just like, you know. But then also it's like people with private health insurance, you know, those are good for people. They like their insurance. You know, obviously we could do like an opt-in thing where if people don't, and we already have that, but then they just want to establish it more. So a lot of these things are already in place. But like, I think politics is just weird, man. It's just, it's weird how the government, I mean, think about it. We need people to be in charge and to make sure and to have these certain avenues for people to come to for help, for identification, you know. But then, like, how far can they extend that? And I think right now, you know, it's definitely something to think about. But they, you know, they can, you know, only, you know, give suggestions and create, you know, policies that, you know, are guidelines in the form of, you know, certain areas. But it is good for government to be in control because we need an a social structure to perform these activities and have, you know, the Social Security Administration for people when they, you know, retire or old, you know, for people who, you know, city council, you know, for people who, you know, all these organizations that help, you know, people is important. But yeah, I thought it was interesting to kind of like learn as I go and talk with you guys. But let me know what you guys think. You know, message me. You know, so somebody message me. But let's do an episode. I think there's a way to turn this to video, so I might do that. That would be more interesting. So if this came off as like, you know, a bunch of rubbish or, you know, whatever, I still think it's just kind of interesting to talk about how we already incorporate certain, like, you know, socialistic ideology, or, you know, we can own things, but like the government just provides services for us to use and identifies us and, you know, gives us a, you know, a stat person to, you know, identify, you know, and be able to service. And, you know, that's why we have a birth certificate to identify who we are. And then, you know, once we get old, we can go to the Social Security Administration and retire. And so, like, you know, there's processes that work, but we just have to make sure that we continue to be aware of, like, what states we're already in and what kind of implications that, you know, like, you know, that, and get down to, like, what we're really talking about and what we're already experiencing as people. So, interesting. Thank you guys for listening. I know it's a different topic. If you guys like these kind of topics, let me know. If you like more of the spirituality stuff, I'm always going to do the mantras and stuff. But if you like kind of just going over certain events and news, if you like technology, let me know, message me, and you know, we'll see you on the next one.